Well, I'll tell you, John, this has been a very interesting evening for me.
Well, I've been really...
Oh, incidentally, there's one of your biggest fans sitting out there. That's John Pate, our chief engineer.
Hi, John, how are you?
And he has...
to ORS here.
And he has listened to you for years and years and years, and he is a big, big fan.
So has Frank Steele.
Oh, Frank, yeah.
Frank is sitting there glowing because he's had the pleasure of being there all night long, staring at you in profile. Yeah. Ah, what is it?
Oh, you got the book?
He's got the book.
In God We Trust.
Oh, well, that's the... he's got the original hardcover version.
Yeah,
have you got an autograph?
He's about to.
You'll be here. Bring it in. You autograph.
I'll be delighted to autograph. You know, I was so pleased when they brought out Wanda and In God We Trust, the sister volumes, you know, this dolphin thing. And it's been, in the recent years, it's been used in most universities, you know, in American Lit courses and so on. And I got a funny letter. What's the matter? I got a very funny letter the other day. A kid wrote me a letter, and he says, I'm in this American Lit course. And he said, they just gave us an exam on In God We Trust. Hmm. All Others Pay Cash. And he said, I thought you'd like to see it. And here was this mimeographed exam that, you know, went all down. It was about 50 questions, like, what is meant in Chapter 5 by this expression? And what do you think the author meant by this? You know, a typical exam. And I looked at the exam, see, remember, I wrote the book, so he says, I wonder what kind of a grade you'd get on it. So I looked at the exam, and I went down, and I filled out all the stuff, and I realized I failed an exam on my own work. I got 67 on the test.
Are you pretty good in library sales?
Oh, yeah, yeah. In fact, probably... It's hard to say. See, the Dolphin edition, which is a different thing from the hardcover edition, the Dolphin edition is not a standard paperback. It's what they call a library university big. It's a big paperback. It's a $4 paperback, you know, with the slick cover. And in
it's like Serker puts out in Dover Publications. Binding and all.
Right. It's the kind of thing that they buy if you go to a college bookstore, you know, for a text and so on. And it's a real fine edition. But in this, another thing, Lee just handed me a note. I should tell you about this, that I had a fantastic thing happen to me recently as a result of this book, of Wanda Hickey.
Mm-hmm.
I got a call from the medical department of the University of West Virginia. And we began a conversation by the mail, and it turns out that the psychiatric division there uses Wanda Hickey and In God We Trust in their psychiatric work with teenagers for a number of reasons. The kids read this, people who are closed within themselves, particular kids who tend to draw within themselves, and they give them this to read, and the psychiatrist then begins to work with them. We're using these stories as a premise. Rather than to talk about this kid's life, they talk about the life of the kids in this book, you see. And it opens them all up. And so they were really interested in that because of what they consider the accurate literary insights into the feelings of a teenager within a family unit, the way he really is. As opposed to the way most literature treats a kid, which is not really... Holden Caulfield, for example, in Catcher in the Rye, has no relationship to any known teenager. This is a 42-year-old man walking around talking about phonies. And so, nevertheless, the upshot of it was that I went out and I gave a lecture to the psychiatrist out there about teenagers and humor and self-satire, which is a very interesting field to me. I mean, satirizing yourself at all times under continuing running. See, many kids do this, and their parents can't understand this. The kid is talking about himself in satirical terms. He sees himself as a comic figure. And we had a very interesting session out there. And a couple of days later, I got a letter from the department. And as a result of all this, I've been just appointed a professor out there. Clinical behavioral medicine.
Behavioral medicine.
Yes.
Well, you know, part of what you're saying, I think, is that they are using this as a form of psychodrama.
Not really, Candy, because psychodrama, you see, is another thing. It's where patients act out things.
Mm-hmm.
This is not at all that. See, these people have already acted this out. It's sort of, he'll hear this story. For example, a kid will be assigned by his analyst, or the guy that's working with him, to read, we'll say, the story of the lady's lamp.
Yeah.
Well, then the kid will read this story, and he sees the kid. See, the I is a kid in the story. And he lives through this whole relationship, and it's a very real one, you see. The writing is very vivid, you know. It catches him and pulls him in. And then later on, the analyst will say, well, now, he'll talk to him, not about himself, but about these people. He'll say, now, do you think the mother did that purposely? And do you think that and the next thing you know, the kid's talking about the mothers. And he's talking about the kid. And almost immediately, he relates that then to his mother and his brother. And the next thing you know, it all starts coming out. And these stories, particularly in God We Trust, has been used extensively mm-hmm. in the psychiatric world as a really specifically with teenagers. Not older people. Older people often will listen. You notice this woman called in and she said it was a touching story. A kid doesn't see it as touching. He sees it as very funny. That a woman will see that, and she'll probably relate to the mother and father.
Well, she was half weeping. I mean, you could hear tears in her voice.
And it's funny because a kid will read that and find it an extremely funny story. And now I'm sure that this lady listening to us can't understand why they find that funny.
I must be retarded. I thought it was hilarious.
Well, a lot of people, it's very funny. I've had stories like when I did a show at Princeton here 2 weeks ago. And I told one of the stories I told, and of course when I do them on stage, it's a whole different game. I act out the characters. I'm just sitting here now, but I act the father when I do the lamp, you know, and I act the kids, and I act the guy that delivers it. I act them all out. Well, I did the story of Ludlow Kissel and the ultimate aerial bomb, which was a story of 4th of July. And Ludlow Kissel was a drunk.
Yeah.
He had this fantastic, all of a sudden he appeared out of the darkness on 4th of July with the biggest bomb that anyone had ever seen. And he's drunk in the coat and he starts to light it. Well, you know, everybody's laughing. You see, they're really flipping over this thing. Well, after the show, and it was meant to be funny, see, this nice lady came back and she said, that was such a touching story about that poor man. and so humor is that way. See, it's not comedy. Comedy's not humor. I'm dealing with humor. Humor, one person hears a story and he thinks of it as the saddest thing he's ever heard. And he loves it for its sadness, remember. The other person sitting right next to him is flipping and falling out of his chair. He thinks it's the funniest thing he's ever heard. And that is specifically what humor is. Humor is a story in which the laugh is the byproduct of what is told, not the end result.
Exactly.
Comedy, the laugh is the end result.
Mm-hmm.
So humor lasts a lot longer in people's memory than comedy. And that's why John here will remember that story for 15 years. It really, it's made a true impression. Comedy doesn't. You can't remember one thing George Carlin said last week. You think it's funny as hell. You're sitting there laughing, and 2 days later, you say, well, what did he say? Well, I can't tell you, but he's really great. But comedy is very, very perishable. If you've ever listened to a Mort Saul record, they're unintelligible of the days when he was big during the Eisenhower period. They just are meaningless. But you read Mark Twain 100 years ago, And that stuff is right on. So humor is universal. Comedy is very perishable and only of the moment. Robert Klein will be forgotten in 2 years.